What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 105.5 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.
What's up, good people? BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. The latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use your promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online when the game starts.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV. Covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
You see, we're Let's on the line with us from the AJC. Always win the bow ties, the great announcer of the Falcons. He won the bros as well. He's talking to one of the guys. It's our land. D Led, but on the Boss Man. So, D Led, good to see you again. How you doing, brother?
Oh, I'm doing great, Boss Man. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Yes, and I want to have you on because Coach Gale loves your work, man. And Coach Gale said, we got to get you on the show. I said, I can do that. I can make it happen. So, we got you on the show.
We appreciate you. We appreciate you, sir, Mr. Ledbetter. I love your work. You look as amazing in person as you do in the newspaper. So just want to say thank you.
Well, thanks for having me, Coach Gale, and I really appreciate your kind words. I'm wearing a Seahawks hat, but that's my Smyrna Seahawks Little League hat, not the big Seahawks. Because we do a lot of coaching in the community over here.
No doubt. And you know what, D-Led, Coach Gale was a teacher in high school before he got his job at Albany State. And he's also with St. Thomas then down in Miami. So Coach Gale loved to teach, man. And I know you're a teacher as well in what you do with journalism. I see at the Hawks games, bringing children to the game. So Coach Gale, you and Coach D-Led, y'all both teachers, man. So you feel free to jump in, Coach Gale.
So Mr. Ledbetter, I know that you're in the community still, and I know you've been, doing things in journalism and doing things in education for a long time. So we have a lot of young people that will tune into this show and try to figure out what their path is. Talk a little bit about your career path from its genesis, maybe in high school, college, to where you are right now.
Yeah, Coach Gale, it all started, my journalism career started in junior high school when I'm on the team, but they needed articles for the junior high student newspaper. So my English teacher got me involved with the student newspaper, which, now that'd be probably the student blog or social media or, you know, however the teams communicate in their high schools now, or the yearbook. And so, and it just kind of grew from there, did it in high school, went to college, got a journalism degree, and was able to land some job. But also, ended up going to law school there on the side, which allowed me to teach at later on. But while continuing to work on my craft at various newspapers that, you know, for our kids now, they might not be around. They'll be websites instead of the Charlotte Observer, Cincinnati Inquirer, Milwaukee Journal, or Atlanta Journal-Constitution. You know, you got Bleacher Report, Yahoo, ESPN.com, The Athletic. You know, it's going to be a different form, but there's still going to be stories to be told and for people to write them, produce them, talk about them, and be shot on camera and moved over the digital platform. So, you know, just starting early and continuing to work on my craft was a plan that's worked out for me and probably be a good plan for the young kids that are watching today.
I love what you said. I know when I got started in 2012, it was pretty much you need to have call letters behind your name and pretty much be on the radio or print. Now it's digital media. So for you being in print but going more digital, how have you had to adapt yourself and how you go about the business of the day to the new way of putting on digital platforms rather than it being in the paper so much? See, people like to be on their phones and iPads so much now.
Yeah, you know, the big change was, we used to be split. You had print, radio, and TV. And now you have to be able to go across all three of those platforms. You know, I have to be able to go on the radio. I have to be able to go on television. You have to be able to do a podcast, which might be just reading what you wrote for the story and breaking it up in more digestible audio and digital form. So being able to write is still going to be the foundation of what you do, but you have to be able to span all the platforms. Now, it wasn't real easy getting used to being on camera. You know, we didn't have cameras. We didn't have everybody with a cell phone in their pocket and everybody with their own YouTube channel. So it was a matter of getting used to that, talking to the camera, and being confident about your information. So, you know, that all it's all done by your preparation and your homework. Because when you get on that camera, you got to make people believe that you're telling them the truth and you shoot them straight. You know, if you shaky on the camera, they going to sense that, okay, this guy, I'm wasting my time. He got a bunch of maybes and what ifs and therefores instead of I want them straight. So, yeah, the kids today, they grow up in a new era. They'll be more ready to be on camera. But, you know, will they do the work to prepare to have the accurate and correct and detailed information? That's going to be the key for them moving forward.
So, Mr. Ledbetter, I have a former student athlete that is currently in law school. What made you go and pursue a law degree?
Well, you know, we had always been underrepresented in the field. Everybody said, oh, there are too many lawyers. And my law professor told me, hey, there are not too many good lawyers. So, you know, I wanted to be one of the good lawyers who helped out the community and, provided services that the community had been lacking or have been not provided there for. So it was a vacuum that, you know, in addition to being able to write, you could also help out the community with issues from elections to civil rights to employment law. That's why I was a corporate attorney and was proficient in those areas.
Had there been any? I'm sorry, JR. Just want to ask you a question because you're fascinating, man. Somebody should write your biography. Had there been any clashes with you being obviously writing pieces and being in journalism? And then, you know, I don't know if you've been practicing law while you were writing, but definitely having that knowledge, you know, of the law. Had there been any clashes with any of the people that you've been working with or working for?
Yeah, for a while I did both the pre-internet. I was covering the NBA and working at Gonzalez, Sadio Bersal in Harlan in in Milwaukee, but the clashes have come in the form of me covering the Pete Rose trial, which just came up. I was in law school at the Cincinnati Enquirer and was able to use sports and law in that. And then later in Atlanta, I was the lead attorney writer for us on the Michael Vick dogfighting trial. So, you know, that was important. Trial that we had to balance, you know, the importance to the football team along with his legal rights in a federal RICO dogfighting trial. You know, myself and Steve Weiss, who's at NFL Networks, Steve took the team and I took the courts that year, you know, trying to make sure our coverage was, you know, ahead of the nation and so forth. So we did a good job with that. That's when they've clashed. For me, there have been other cases where there have been civil issues with the teams. Bengals had one. And, you know, we used to didn't report on civil issues because they were just for money. But we've been able to cover some of the, you know, two of the pretty big cases in the last, 40 years, Pete Rose and Michael Vick. So those two worked out very, very well for myself.
And Mr. Dilley, let me ask you this, man, because you brought up Pete Rose. They say he may be in the Hall of Fame now. They took him off the ban list. So what are your thoughts? And having been around for that, what are your thoughts on him potentially getting in the Hall of Fame now?
Well, I mean, you know, they have a character issue in the Baseball Hall of Fame. And so, you know, the gambling part was he bet on his team. But, you know, there's some other character issues that he had. You know, outside of the field that you know, in baseball, they get to take that into consideration. And as you know, I'm one of the football voters and we don't. We stick just to the field and what they did as a player. So, you know, for instance, Lawrence Taylor has had problems off the field, but they're not supposed to come into that room. It's just what he did on the football field for the Giants. And you know, there's some other more high profile guys that or in the Hall of Fame that, you know, have been accused and acquitted of very serious charges. So it's a different rule for baseball. And, you know, I kind of know some of the stuff off the field that would make me really hard to follow those rules and vote for him on the character part. But the baseball part, he would be a first ballot, no question guy.
No doubt. It's on you, Coach Gale.
Man, I just want to see, because there's so many follow-up questions to that, especially what you said, JR, with the Baseball Hall of Fame kind of changing up their criteria now. And now you just threw a nugget out there. So you're a part of the NFL Hall of Fame committee. So with your writing, and I've always wanted to ask journalists this, with your pieces, have you ever had any former athletes, have you ever had any politicians, have you ever had any people, you know, in the news or in the media or just popular celebrities come in and kind of cross the line past just seeing you somewhere and saying some things to you? Have you ever had anything crazy that would have you say, whoa, I don't know if I want to, you know, keep doing that young in your career? I'm sure now you kind of seen it all, but kind of as you started out.
Yeah, you have, you know, players that have issues with, you know, some things you write. You know, I know Sterling Sharp, well, he's getting ready to go in the Hall of Fame. We were able to help him get in the Hall of Fame. I kind of got my job covering the Packers because he wouldn't talk to the other reporters. But he wouldn't talk to me either. So they found out I could still cover football. They thought the brother was going to talk. They sent me up there on the brother card thing. Maybe he'll talk to the young brother, but he wouldn't talk to me either. So we joked about it in New Orleans this year at the Super Bowl. He's like, "What?" I was like, "Yeah, you know, I was up there covering teams." He's like, "Well, you okay? Did you make it?" He said, "I know I was tough for you." I was like, "Yeah, I didn't care. You know, I had thick skin, so I kept it moving." And, you know, be good to see him go in the Hall this year. I remember Seth Joyner threatened to you know, kick me. I had to ask him about his knee surgery. He was near the end of his career. It was bone on bone. And, you know, he was just gutting it out, trying to make it another year. And he was like, "What part of no comment don't you understand?" And so I'm a smart aleck reporter. I started writing down, "What part of no comment?" And he lost it. And so I got in trouble that day. I had to, report myself to my editors and so forth. But yeah, for the most part. Then recently, we had Croy Bierman up here, who was married to one of the Real Housewives of Atlanta, and so I went up to talk to him, and he wouldn't talk to me after a mini camp or something. And so I asked Cunningham, I was like, "What did I do to Croy?" And he's like, "Well, he Googled it, and he said, yeah, this story right here." And I apparently wrote a story that he was a reality TV star, and now he wanted to be a reality football star. So he didn't like that, and we had a picture of Kim Zolciak on the paper, and they're not supposed to have pictures according to Bravo. But once she came on the practice field, my photographer didn't know. So, those are some of the conflicts we've had over the years. Not real major stuff, but, you're going to have some enemies, and you're going to have some supporters. You try not to make sure that the quarterback or Julio Jones or the stars, make sure you have a good relationship with them. But, some other people you may not.
I hear that. So, Coach, would you take one of his questions, Coach, from D-Led after the game, Coach, after you mad? Just your question from D-Led, Coach.
You know what I thought about you, JR, when he said he wrote down, "How many times have I said no comment?"
Because you know I'll do that, Coach. You know how I would do that. Yes. I write down anything what you say. Just what you said, I'm right up on saying
that. That is a great story right there.
Yes. Then now, D-Led, Coach Gale is a very laid back guy, except when he's on the sidelines. Coach always stay. Now, in your coaching career, D-Led, do you get very heated on the field, or do you kind of just be like, okay, come on, let's chill, or you get really intense out there, kind of like Coach Gale does?
When I started out, it was kids. So, coaches, I had like 5 all the way up to 12, 13. But at first, I was off the chain. And then I was like, why am I yelling at 5-year-olds? So I had to refocus, and I got Tony Dungy's book, The Quiet Storm. I think that's it. It's over there on the case. But Coach Tony Dungy talked about how he never raised his voice, how Chuck Noll never raised his voice at them, how he looked the kid, players directly in the eyes, shot them straight. So I would make sure I talked to my kids in low tone and make sure they understood the assignment. And made them look me in the eye. If they didn't, we had problems. We had to work on that. But I toned it down. We started winning. I had some very good teams. Won a Coach of the Year 1 year for all of Northwest Georgia. And so, yeah, I had to switch it up and take a different approach and just make sure it focused on the kids and their assignments and not all the yelling and screaming. If stuff went bad, it was probably because we didn't work it out during the week. If you get in a game and you're doing something new or something different, then, yeah, you just kind of roll out there rolling the dice. So we tried to make sure we had them well prepared with the scripts. I always had good help, via Dan Quinn would let me use tackling dummies and all kinds of stuff like that so we could make sure our teams were fundamentally sound and ready to go on Saturday.
That's a real coach right there. I like what you said, that if it doesn't go well on game day, that means you did something wrong in practice, because I never like to do anything we didn't practice. So, a lot of people are going to ask how many, professional athletes came through your, youth league. But I'm going to ask about just the careers, because you've been coaching for a minute now, just the careers and kind of spotlight some of the young people that have come through your league. And to me, any career is good. I just love to see your mentorship and your leadership led to, changing communities.
Yeah, no doubt. Justin Hayes was All-American at Samford. He works for the Falcons right now. Lawrence McIntosh played at a few different schools, ending at Maryland Eastern Shore. And he's a fireman over there in Westlake. Keyshawn Johnson, he was on the Illinois State All NCAA tournament teams, and Keyshawn was my reverse tailback. He didn't like to get hit. He was real fast, but he's doing well down in Florida. I got kids teaching. Got kids. Got one that's flying planes down in Pensacola in the Air Force. A quarterback. He was drafted by the Oakland A's. He was a big baseball star. Turned out being a big baseball star in the SWAC by way of Navy. And he's so he's in the Navy down there flying planes. So it's good when they pull you up at the CVS. Like, hey, this is Jordan McKinley, your running back, or this is Gabriel Smith, your old running back, and so forth. So, some of the kids have gone and do a great job in the community. And you know, I had one kid go to Dartmouth. A lot of college kids, and some have had pro tryouts. And we had one cornerback, Chris Harris from the Bengals, who did make it all the way through. Lorenzo Carter, he's still playing. He's over in Tennessee now with the Titans. He came up through Norcross, and you know, sometimes I don't get the kids that I recruited. Like Kyle Hamilton was one of my kids, and he's in with the Ravens now, pro bowler. His family moved to Dunwoody, and I had to send him to another team. So you know, once the gas went up back when I was coaching, it was $1, so you could recruit the whole city. But now, you know, once it went up, I was like, hey, no, y'all just stay over there with the Atlanta Colts, and you'll play for Maris. And you know, he went on to start at Notre Dame and you know, become an All-Pro in the NFL. So we recruited Cam Newton. We had Christian Coleman, the sprinter. Christian was his dad was from St. Louis. I was from St. Louis, so we used to scrimmage each other. Martise Moore, he's a hurdler, all ACC hurdler at Louisville, and he's doing good. And Johnny Cummins III was a returner and special teamer at Morehouse. He's just light people up. And he's selling Lexuses down the street here. So, yeah, I love the fact that we I always taught them that, hey, we took them to get their library cards after they registered. So I was like, hey, if you're going to spend 6 hours a week out here with me, get me 6 hours in the library, too. So we were preaching education and the discipline that you learn on the football field, you can apply to your academics. And so some of them clearly did that, and that makes you feel real proud.
100%, 100%. You know, D-Lay, I told you this before, you know, my dad was a coach, so I grew up around coaching, and I'm helping out Coach Gale and then coach with Albany State now. So it's fun to impact these kids, D-Lay. Like, I know coaches should tell you, like, they're players who I mentor on his team now, try to help out. We do have a young man in journalism. We probably click D-Lay with him, Coach, to maybe help out, get him on the right track, too. We have a guy on our team who's a journalism major as well. So, you know, it's really fun and really pouring the kids like my dad used to. And being with Coach Gill letting me do this with him, it's been fun, D-Lay. I'm enjoying helping these kids out, giving a little bit of what I have to offer as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. And keep up the great work, because, you know, they need to know, you know, they need to know the examples that are out there for footsteps for them to follow in. I never knew about being an athletic director, but now that's my dream job. I'd love to be coach's boss. Make sure he had everything he needed to win and get to the tournaments and so forth, and get that NIL money in coach's hand so we could make the program go. But I didn't know about that growing up, but we can tell the kids about that now, how important the math is, and how important, you know, geometry is in football, sports, and coaching to you know, so they can have some more options as they move forward.
Every coach has a mantra, so I'm not going to assume. So you said that you wanted to get – you told your players – you're going to have 6 hours with me on the field. Give me 6 hours in the library. But what – for a player that has played for you, they know one of the mantras that you will say at every practice. What's the mantra for you?
Yeah, mine was go hard. I need everything you got. You know, we gonna go hard. You know, if we get it wrong, we gonna fix it. But we gonna go hard the whole time. So whether we running sprints at the end of practice or doing jumping jacks at the beginning, we gonna do our best for that whole 2 hours. And we're going to go hard. And then, you know, if we get on the football field and we, you know, things ain't going our way, we still going to be going hard. So, you know, no matter what in life, I learned from Pete Gillen, who was a coach at Xavier when I was in Cincinnati. He's like, hey, you can go hard every day. You know, you can play defense and basketball every day. You might, your jumper might not be falling, but I got to have that every day. And that's what I preach to the kids. And it was great because I go see the high school games. And I can kind of pick out my kids on kickoff coverage. Because they were the first ones down the field lighting people up. So, yeah, go hard was my mantra. And it applies to football and life.
And what's yours, Coach?
So if you know me and you play for me, then my favorite line has always been, the real world will teach you better than I can. So everybody that plays for me, they hear that. And about 2 years, about a year or two after they leave me, they always say, Coach, you were right.
No, and my dad was master, every motion counts.
Yep.
That was his favorite line, every motion counts. So we were out on his basketball court, every motion counts. Mm-hmm. Everything you do counts. So, you know, I use it to this day, D-Led and Coach. Even on his radio show, everything I do matters. Every guest matters. Every question matters. So that's still stuck in my head, even though 13 years in this radio game, everything I do matters when I get on this radio show, man.
Mm-hmm. So Mr. Ledbetter, let me ask you this question, because you've interviewed coaches, you've been around coaches, you are a great coach, and to me, a great coach is all about leadership. What to you, and I want you to be specific to the sport, what makes a great coach?
You got to be able to communicate, and you got to be able to handle people. You know, people can take them where, meet them where they are. People come from all over. And, you know, you got to, in my instance, dealing with the parents, because you want the trust of the kids. I can handle the kids, but, you know, once the parents know that you have their best interests, the kids at heart, they're going to fall in line, you know. Now, the parents I started with in 06, they were a lot different than the parents in 2018. So, 2019 was my last year, so I probably need to reassess that. But yeah, but it's all communications and expectations and managing those expectations. So, you know, parents want answers. Sometimes they don't like the answers you have, and you got to separate. But as long as you communicating with them and manage your expectations, you should be good in any sport.
100%. Well, D-Led, let me ask you one last question, man, about this. For you, man, for the young journalists out here who are watching the show and the communications majors are out here, what advice should you give them while they're in school to kind of build themselves, establish themselves, to get ready to get out in the real world, try to get them a job after college?
Yeah, you know, stick to the sound fundamental. It's just like football. Don't be trying to, you know, catch the one-handed pass when you can't catch the fundamental straight ahead pass. You know, don't be trying to be Stephen A. Smith, where it took him 20 years to get there. You know, you got to handle the basics first. So build your solid foundation and not just rely on quick, short, hot takes or, you know, yelling, screaming. You know, there's got to be some work put in. So there's got to be some dedication to the craft to put in the work and make sure that you are fundamentally sound before you start growing and going off into different other things. So, yeah, fundamentals, just like in basketball or just like riding a bike, you're not going straight to the Tour de France. On your first day getting on the bike, you're not. You know, you're gonna fall a couple times. So, you know, but keep getting back up and keep doing the work. That'd be the advice I'd give the young kids starting out in journalism. Just get some reps in wherever they're at. Student newspaper, the student social media site, the yearbook, you know, just keep getting practice as much as you can and keep working on the craft and build up your fundamentals.
Oh, let us know on you, Coach. Take it where you want to go, brother.
So you know my last question, because you're in sports media and, you know, I'm a coach and we're not just talking about the big news in the coaching world today. But with you know, this has been going on really for the last few years with coaches kind of getting fired before. And it's at all levels, high school, college, NBA, you know, kind of coaches getting let go before they can really do the job that they were hired to do, and they did the job that they were hired to do. They surpassed expectations, but for whatever reason, the bar got lifted before they can actually catch the bar. What do you think about this climate with just coaches in general? It's you're a coach. What do you think?
Yeah, the situation is now that, you know, the teams make money no matter what. Like the NFL, they before they even kick off on Sunday, everybody's in the black because they got all this TV money and so forth. So the days of Mike Tomlin and teams with sustained winning, staying with the coach over a long, long period of time, those are over because you know, they gotta cater to the whims of the fans, and it blows back and forth. So even with sustained winning doesn't guarantee you success. The winningest coach in Falcon history, Mike Smith, was let go after two down seasons, after six straight years of playoffs. So and they haven't been the same since. So you know, if you're talking about sustained winning, the teams that have won over time have had very few coaches. Look at the Steelers, look at the Green Bay Packers. Look at the New England Patriots with Belichick. You can say it was Belichick, you can say it was Brady, but they didn't fire the coach. So, you know, you keep changing coaches every year. You know, Thibodeau is what we're referring to today in New York. He exceeded expectations. Look like they have a good foundation to move forward with. They're going to bring somebody else in to finish off the deal. We saw that with Jon Gruden and Tony Dungy in Tampa. We've seen it a few other times here, but if you really say you want to be a sustained winning franchise, you don't tear up the foundation every couple of years, is what we're seeing. And I asked Coach Smith, I was like, Coach, why are they doing this? It went down from like an average of 4.8 years to 3.2 years. So you don't have a 5-year plan anymore. And I was like, why is that so? He's like, because they can, and the they is the owners.
No doubt. We'll leave it there. Coach Gale and JR are here with D Ledbetter. It's been a great show. It's been fun. We'll do this again down the road, man. It was a pleasure to have you on the show.
Well, thank you, JR, and thank you, Coach Gale, for having me on the show. It's my pleasure. You all have a great rest of this week, and continued successes to you both.
Thank you so much.
Bless you, Mr. Ledbetter. You are a blessing to our young people.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that, Coach Gale.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku. As well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or Spreaker.com/BS3 Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
What's up, good people? BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. The latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use your promo code BLEAV, BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline. When the game starts. What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.